I believe it goes something like this. I had this perfect dream. This dream was me and you. I want all the world to see a miracle sensation, my guide, my inspiration, my dream slowly coming true. It's the Mobile World Congress at Barcelona, and this is a very special All About Symbian Insight. It's number 105, and joining me in the role of Montserrat Caballier is Steve Litchfield.
But this is the All About Symbian Insight, isn't it, Ewan?
Yeah, and it was Freddie Mercury. Look him up on Wikipedia, right? Right, okay.
Get on with it.
What do you think of it so far? Rubbish. Right, Rafe, as we pointed out, there is in here. He is actually on the ground in Barcelona with Ewan McLeod from Mobile Industry Review, carning around the video equipment and the HD cameras, finding interviews, applications, and interesting people to talk to and things to see and stuff to do on the Spanish coastline. We are back here at base, plumbing through the mountain of press releases from the Mobile World Congress and finding the three of them that are relevant to Symbian. And our insight today is going to be all about the issues raised at Mobile World Congress, with perhaps one or two exceptions. But let's start off with that. There has been an almost dearth of news on the Symbian front from this year, hasn't there, Steve?
Yeah, this is kind of to be expected, that the Symbian will tends to move in cycles with the Symbian Foundation. And then there has been the big announcement of Symbian 3 with a proper demo video showing all the wonders it's capable of. And I think this is probably the most they could show at this point. The hardware running it is still 2 or 3 months off. So they did what they could, but it's just in a natural lull and there's not much we can do about that, I'm afraid.
And we'll talk about that UI video coming up shortly, because we're nice and regimented. We've decided what we're going to talk about already. But let's start off with the one bit of news that wasn't strictly MWC, which was the update to Gravity. Gravity, of course, being the Twitter client du jour and almost the application that shows off what a good ecosystem can do. It's now added support for the geolocation game Foursquare. It's very simple. You just add it as if you'd add another Twitter account or another Laconica account. And I just love the fact that YanAlexer is just continuing to build on this application. It's adding a little bit extra, not charging any more, but it's creating an entire social network cloud in your device through this one application as it brings in more and more services.
We're going to end up with Gravity OS, you know. The phones will ship with just Gravity and that will contain all you need.
And to be honest, I don't think that would be that much of a problem because, okay, he's got to add in email and web, but we've already got Twitter, we've got Facebook on there. And when you look at something like the INQ1 that 3 had last year, the Facebook phone that was literally a phone with Facebook on it, that's not that far off being actually quite a good idea. How far could you get with just Gravity?
Oh, well, you could certainly put email in. That's a jolly good idea if you're listening, Yanoi, sir, because, just add in different streams, one for each email account, have them pop up in a nice kinetic scrolled window, and then slide. That would work really well.
Yeah, your inbox would be another stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. That's what we want to see in Gravity next. There we go. what else do we have? Let's switch over to MWC. Not a huge amount of news from the Symbian Foundation. Not a huge amount of news from Nokia either. But let's take two. I mean, let's first of all go to their Symbian press conference, their Symbian S60 press conference. And it wasn't really a sort of hard news conference. It's a, we're doing very well. This is what we're up to. And we're going at our own pace.
If you think back to things like the Apple conferences, they quite, Steve Jobs walks on screen, on stage, and he says, right, here are our stats. We're moving forward, 1 million this, 10 million that. And you think, okay, this is the great build-up. We've got some momentum going. We've got some steam up. Right, now hit us with the big announcement. Whereas the Nokia guy said, and here are the figures, 10 million, 4 million, 1 million, and now I'm off for a cup of tea. Bye, thanks for coming. And you all left thinking, what? They had to announce something. I was rather disappointed.
And they did, and they kind of just did, they did the big announcement first.
They did,
because
yes.
Yeah, there are two press conferences. The one at 11:15 is the one we've just talked about. The one at 10:30 was the one about MAMO merging with Intel's Linux product, Moblin, to create the wonderfully named, and I use wonderful as an adjective in its loosest sense, Migo.
Is it Migo or Migo or...
Well, it's double E, so I think it's Meego, like Smeego from The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
It does fit in with a world that's populated by Badar, Bing, Lala, Juju, and various other baby-mouthed nouns. So I guess it fits into that world, but I'm always a bit disappointed by these names.
I think it's always also quite hard when you want to have quite a short name, 4, 5, or 6 letters, and most of it is driven by what domains you can get a hold of. rather than, is this a great concept? Is this a wonderful name? It's like, well, what URL's available? Well, Pinky Bonky Blookie's available, or we can call it Triple P.
And of course, you can't roll it all into Moblin or roll it all into MIMO, because one of the two parties would feel upset that they were getting a bad deal. So you have to think of a third name, and that's where it gets complicated. But I suppose Migo is as good as anything.
Yes. This is actually, I think, quite an impressive strategic move. I mean, a lot of people have been asking, what are Nokia doing with MIMO? What does it mean for Symbian? Well, what it means is Symbian is still in there, where it's a great operating system for mobile phones and smartphones. But the high-end luxury stuff, the stuff that's going to be computery as opposed to phony, and I mean phony as in phone, not as in fake, is going to be this Linux-based operating system. And it also kind of explains where the booklet came in as well. It was Nokia just sort of exploring the market with the netbook. A little bit of background for those of you who don't know it. Moblin is actually a Linux project coming from the Open Foundations and backed by Intel to provide an off-the-shelf operating system for netbooks. It's currently based on the Intel Atom chipset, which is the same as the Nokia booklet and the Asus and the Acers, the Aspires, the Dell Minis, and various other small PDA clamshell-like devices. And it runs on a certain UI, but it's still Linux-based. And MIMO is Linux-based as well, runs on a separate UI. And putting these together is actually very, very interesting. Nokia have got a lot of smarts in hardware building and mobile, and obviously a huge number of engineers. And Intel and the 17, I think, partners that are already involved in mobile now get another partner on board and get another push forward. Now, arguably, both of the companies could have carried on going forward on their own, on separate paths. But I think that there was starting to be some more convergence, and Nokia were looking to kind of move up the stack a little bit, from smartphone to PDA to booklet to netbooks to laptops. They needed something which is perceived to have more grunt. Now, both you and I know that Symbian, certainly back in ER5 days, and it's got the cash out, has more than enough grunt to run a netbook-like operating system. But I think in terms of perception and values, they just needed time to go with Linux, go with something newer to carry on that sort of momentum. So this is actually probably very interesting, will have a huge impact on the mobile space as a whole over the next year or two. We'll know more by the end of the year. We're expecting a sort of initial release by Q2. But right now you can download Moblin 2.1 and stick it on your netbook and get a rough idea of what's going on.
And you reckon that perhaps there might be a Nokia booklet 3G2 perhaps with Migo running maybe the second half of this year?
I suspect what we'll see is a distribution for Migo that's targeted at the existing booklet. I mean, you can already install other operating systems on that booklet. It ships with Windows 7. It's not difficult to put in Ubuntu NBR or Hackintosh it as well.
But it would run a lot better in the 1 gigabyte than Windows does.
Actually, Windows 7 runs very nicely in 1 gigabyte. Of RAM, so I'm not going to let you disparage Windows on that one.
I guess threw in Nokia's Ovi Suite into that, and of course the Ovi Suite would have to be rewritten for Moblin for Migo, which again might present another problem.
It might do, but you've got SyncML and all the open standards and stuff there and everything as well. Because just exchanging of information, I think they could get away with using SyncML over the air.
Okay. Well, it remains to be seen. Of course, it's not strictly Symbian in any way, shape, or form, but it is interesting.
And it does impact on the Symbian Foundation's OS strategy of where Nokia are going to put it in their handsets and devices as well. Firmly puts Symbian now in the sort of second tranche.
Yeah, that should be mentioned, of course, in this context. We have mentioned that as Symbian moves to the mid-tier, it is moving to be the even bigger elephant in the room, because the mid-tier is where most of the money is, where most of the sales are. But this high-end, this almost computing-focused area of the market is the area that consistently attracts the attention of the media. So we certainly shouldn't discount that. One question I have for you, and you're a bit of a Linux head in terms of trying it in the real world on your various netbooks. I would have thought it's still a fairly complicated heavyweight OS, and merging two different, completely different strains of Linux, isn't that going to be a horrendously difficult task?
The base of Linux, the kernel, is going to be the same. And the next sort of the layer of the interface and the hardware and everything, that I think that's going to be the same as well. What I think they're going to do is they're going to take the best of both worlds. Moblin is very good on large screens. It's, you need to have a screen that's at least 1024 by about 600 or 800 pixels to make it worthwhile because of the size of the icons and how it's all laid out and everything. It reminds me very much of System 7 on the old Mac-based LCs and classics that you used to get. Whereas MAMO runs at the moment on 800 by 480, and it's slightly better suited for the smaller form factor. So there is an almost inflection point somewhere in there. And, you know, to blow MAMO up to a big screen, to 1200 wide, gets a bit awkward. To pull Moblin down, again, is also quite awkward. I think that they're going to find a middle ground. Moblin runs essentially like an icon bar that slides out the top of the screen for all your application access. My, doesn't that sound familiar, Steve? and MAMO, of course, is everything in full screen, single window that fills up the available real estate. I think that the UI designers will have a fun time choosing the best elements, and they're going to have to decide whether they go with GTK or Clutter on what's going to drive it. And of course, the chances are Nokia's going to want Qt to drive the whole thing. So it will be fun, but the underlying applications I don't think will change. I think this is going to be more an exercise in presentation and UI. Okay, shall we do some Symbian news? How about Symbian have joined the Open Screen Project? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Go on then, what's that all about?
Well, Symbian have joined the Open Screen Project.
All right, what's the Open Screen Project about?
The Open Screen Project is basically, we need to get flasher mobile phones, but it's not there yet, but it will be in the future because all these people think it would be a good idea project. Yeah. Essentially, Adobe are actually having quite a good MWC. They've got Adobe Air coming out in multiple platforms, including Android. I can't remember reading if they've got it on Windows Mobile Phone Series 7 BMW 920i or whatever it's being called nowadays. But it's certainly their intention to get their runtime, which on the PC on Air has actually done very well on the desktop, into a number of mobile phones. We've already seen things like Flash Lite, but they're looking to get full Flash on mobile phones before people optimize too much for mobile websites. They're still happy going back doing rich websites using Adobe's technology. It's only natural that Symbian join in on this thing. When Lee Williams looking to bring in more form factors and more manufacturers, they need to have a wide range of tools available to people who want to make Symbian hardware and to work in Symbian. So it's only natural that they're going to want to have the ability to do Flash in there. So this is sensible. It keeps Symbian up and in lights and rolling forward, because the Symbian Foundation, you have to remember, is not a big massive powerhouse anymore. They're essentially guardians and janitors of the code base, and they let all their partners do it. So for Symbian to say we're in part of the Open Screen Project, it means it's something else that they can offer the partners and the foundation members that they can then choose to put into their hardware and their own projects.
Yeah, it has to be borne in mind that the full version of Adobe Flash does have a certain minimum hardware requirements. I suspect the reason we've only seen fairly limited Flash implementation up to now is because the Symbian hardware tends to be fairly limited to prolong battery life and to give decent phone performance. So to move to a new generation of smartphones that have the full version of Adobe Flash will need, you know, hardware acceleration, 1 gigahertz CPUs and plenty more RAM, I suspect. But yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on. Yes, yeah, Steve going, let's have more RAM. I believe that is an issue we're going to come back to in the other things coming out of Mobile World Congress. Let's stay with Symbian. Long promise, finally here, and kind of sneaking under the radar because they didn't make a big song and dance about it, but Skype has hit 5th and 3rd edition.
Indeed. It was in beta for 3rd edition before, and it was pretty functional but and fairly vanilla in terms of its look and feel, and actually didn't really hit the system too hard. Where the delay has been really is that they wanted to overhaul it for the S65th edition and the larger screens and have all the different flashy graphics and the speech bubbles and the kinetic scrolling, etc., etc. And of course that has needed work, and especially on the N97, which is up till now has had some pretty severe performance problems, and even now they're not totally solved. It's finally out, but it is slow when you first start it because it's got to download all your contacts, all their thumbnails, It's very slow when you go into a chat session where you've been chatting previously. So, for example, we have an All About Symbian virtual office on Skype, and we produce a few hundred messages a day. And when I go into that chat room, that chat session on the mobile version of Skype, S65th edition, it takes something like 1 minute while a loading screen just works its way across the screen. While it downloads the last, I don't know, whatever it is, week or two worth of messages. And it's just not necessary. I'm sure that's something they can fix in software to just grab the last day or so, and that would make it much, much faster. Provided there's enough RAM free on your phone. I haven't done hard stats yet because it was only released this morning as we record this. I'm guessing it needs something in the region of 10 to 20 megabytes if you've got a hefty chat session going. And that's a lot of RAM to need free. I certainly had the whole Skype thing just closed down on me and said memory full, and that was it. And I then closed web, closed gravity, and it was fine. And with enough RAM free, the kinetic scrolling is smooth enough once it's all loaded, and it does all work as advertised. It's just, yet again, we come back to this sounding board, this drumbeat I have that why on earth we can't have more RAM on our devices. I'm longing, absolutely longing, for Nokia to have an event in a couple of months' time and release something that really hits the ball out of the park and gives us enough room in terms of computer memory to actually run all these programs that we're starting to want and see, and with all these pretty front ends.
Do you ever wish you could just take the back off your phone and solder in another RAM chip?
I tried that, no.
I remember the days when you could take the back of your computer and you could put in more memory if you wanted to. You could just go, ding, 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 and there you go. And yeah, you'll be fine with the work.
You can't even do that with Nokia's booklet 3G, and that's A4 size. So goodness knows I get on trying to solder a chip into the N97.
Unless, of course, our listeners know different and have managed that themselves. Because if you have, that would be a very interesting exercise. You can get in touch and let us know if you sold it in your own RAM or any other issues that come up in the Insight or on allaboutsymbian.com as a whole. You can email Rafe at allaboutsymbian.com, Steve at allaboutsymbian.com, and you know, blah, 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 blah. Or you can find us on Twitter for those short messages at Ewan, at Steve Litchfield, at Rafe Manford, or at AAS. We'd love to hear your opinions. It's great to help us drive the show forward as well, to make sure that it's just not a load of us talking in Rafe somewhere in Barcelona drowning his sorrows going, Ewan, the other Ewan's running the podcast.
And if you do manage to solder in a chip and then break your Nokia, don't come running to us. That was Ewan wasn't recommending it.
No. It's just, if you've done it, we'd like to know.
Yeah, right. There was this do-it-yourself, create-a-phone running Symbian 3.
The Beagle boards, Wild Ducks.
Yes, that's the one.
Yes, yeah. That looks really interesting. I'd love to see if you could actually fit a PS2 socket or USB socket, so you could put a keyboard and a proper monitor on there and see it. And, you know, carry around something like the size of a box of chewing gum and, you know, a couple of USB ports in the back, and that's your entire computer. You know, you just plug in your keyboard and your monitor and your mouse and everything wherever you go. That would be fun. I'd like to see that. What else would we like to see? Well, how about looking at a nice video of a new user interface that's promised for Symbian to the power of 3 and released to the media at the start of MWC was the preview video of Symbian 3's UI, all looking nice and swish with a big rocking guitar music in the background, because that's what 40 and 50 year olds think 20 and 30 year olds would actually like from their phones. Steve in the background, that's what we want a UI that actually gives us a little bit of Hawkwind. Yay! You get your RAM references, I get in Silver Machine. But seriously, the UI video did look really impressive, didn't it, Steve?
Yes, we had multiple home screens, 3D cover flow. I use Apple's term there, and they'll probably sue me for copyright infringement. 3D cover flow for music albums. You get single tap direct manipulation user interface. So rather than having this slightly clunky scroll to select something and then do tap again to perform a default action, this time single tap everywhere, and the user interface itself makes it clear what's going to happen. There's multi-touch, which kind of surprised me, but it's there, as on the recent Android phone from Google, and also I think the Motorola Milestone also inherited multi-touch, proving that Apple's copyright isn't worldwide and unavoidable. So you get pinching and splaying to zoom in and out. We had live visual multitasking, along the lines of what the Samsung i9 10HD has had in the Symbian world, admittedly, where you have you just swipe between the different panes, each representing one running application, and it shows a live preview of what that app is up to. So that's, and it all ran very, very fast. Now, this is obviously some sort of demo video, and you can't really extrapolate that to actual running speeds. If those who remember the initial N97 promo videos will know that you can't always get exactly what you saw in the original demo video. But it's a visual feast. I love looking at it, and judging from the number of comments on the site, everybody else has loved looking at it too, and it certainly seems to have sparked a lot of conversation.
A couple of things that I like. One, they are going for single touch everywhere. That's great. You make a decision, you make it consistent throughout the entire user phase. Good. What I'm hoping to see is that their kinetic scrolling speed is the same in every application. One of the things that I'm finding on the X6 at the moment, much as I love the capacitive screen, is that different applications kinetically scroll at different speeds. So a flick in contacts isn't as fast as a flick in the music application, even though to my muscle memory it's the same. So it really is, they just need to have somebody sitting down at a table where they have to line up all their pens correctly and have them all sharpened to the same point and all pointing in the same direction. That sort of mindset, sitting down with the UI and just going through and going, this is 2 pixels too fast. This needs to slow down by 1 pixel per second. This needs a little bit more acceleration. There are 2 taps in this menu option here. It just needs someone to sit down and go through and make everything utterly consistent. You make the decision that it will be this spec, and you go through. You don't have somebody come out going, but the music list is quite long. Can we speed it up a little bit in the music application because it's my favorite thing? No, it's just one locked down set. And I hope that that's the sort of thing that if all that Symbian Power 3 did was make everything consistent with a single touch and a single speed and a single acceleration, single friction level, I would be happy. Obviously, I'd like to see more. I love the fact that in their demo video, all the album art is on display, and every album has every album art, something that I have never been able to manage and practice on any Nokia device.
Me
at
neither.
All. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's very easy to do on other popular phones. It's just like you drop those MP3s and it reads the album art. It's great. I'd love to see how it handles an album of various artists, because one of my big problems in the music application is, strange enough, I like this. When you look at an album, let's take Eurovision, for example.
No, not yeah. Eurovision!
Because it has 42 songs with 42 different artist names. Yep. Yeah. On certain MP3 players that are not made or powered by Symbian, it says various artists, the album artist. On your Nokia device, it lists the first artist, not the other 41. And in Ovi Music Player, it lists 42 versions of the album, each one with a different artist. So, I mean, there's utter inconsistency on what you expect and what you see, even in the same ecosystem, Ovi Music Player on PC and Ovi Music Player on X6. That's the sort of stuff that really destroys a UI. It's great once you sort out where the buttons go and where the icons go and what the menus look like, that's fine. It's then putting it into practice with an iron fist of dedication and of, you know, just laser-like focus.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see.
Yeah, it is interesting seeing all the different packages being assembled for the Symbian Foundation for Symbian 3. And it is fairly apparent that a lot of the applications that we've taken for granted, things like Music Player and Calendar and Contacts, they are actually being reworked for Symbian 3 in a big way. Going from S60 3rd edition to 5th edition was basically tacking on a touch layer and a few extra bells and whistles. But Symbian 3 will actually have reworked applications and new features, new functions, new ways of doing things. And that sort of those things you're asking for there, I think they may well happen. I think you could be pleasantly surprised. I was also looking at the list of things in Symbian 3 that Symbian released as part of a press release on Symbian.org. And they talk about more efficient memory management due to writable data paging allows more applications to run in parallel for a faster, more complete and efficient multitasking experience, especially on mid-range hardware, which sounds wonderful and it sounds like exactly like what we need. I remember when demand paging first came into reality on the N95 with their version 20 firmware, and all of a sudden our phones suddenly had more RAM and things ran faster, and this looks like the next level up. I have no idea how writable data paging works. I will find out and hopefully write it up for the site, but in the meantime, just the very fact they're talking about more efficient memory management in view of today's Skype memory disaster and various other RAM considerations over the last 6 months, the very fact they're talking about it, I think, is a very good sign.
That'd be because that Lee Williams, he'd be a wizard, Harry. He'd be the best wizard in all of Dumbledore's training.
Do you think we should mention the new hardware that, before we forget it completely?
The new hardware? What new hardware would that be? No, I've got other stuff we got to talk. I was going to leave that till the end because, people say there's never any new things. I thought we would build that up for a big announcement at the end. People go, wow,
what else
you're still here. Amazing. Yeah, I just want to talk, just while we're on UI, I just want to briefly digress and talk about Windows Mobile Phone 7 series, which got premiered yesterday as a new UI, what appears to be a complete rewrite of the Windows Mobile system, because one of the things they've done is completely redone their UI, something that I'm hoping that will, that a lot of people are hoping will happen with, say, a Nokia and S60 going forward. And I have to say, I'm incredibly impressed. But what's more impressive is that they've designed this in full sight of everybody because it's been on the Zooms for the last 8 months.
Yeah, I did see the Windows 7, was it Windows Phone 7 series?
It's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Let's just call it 7.
Yeah, I did see the demo, and I was quite impressed. I was rather appalled that they were going to break compatibility completely, though. Maybe they'll bow to pressure and include some sort of compatibility layer, like I believe Palm did. But for example, Symbian 3, with all the flashiness we saw, as I understand it, that is completely co-compatible, and you can run existing S60 applications on it with no problem whatsoever. So Symbian 3 won't have exactly the same problem. But I think Windows and Microsoft are going to run into a struggle there. Their core strength, their absolute core strength, is in the massive vertical applications within companies. That's where they sell an awful lot of devices. And basically, with this new system, they're shooting for the consumer and zero compatibility with the past. Now, there is some talk. I've yet to read all the analysis. That Microsoft will keep the existing Windows Mobile code base and kind of keep on developing that for companies, and that would make sense. But we shouldn't really confuse the two. This is a totally new S, totally redesigned from the ground up.
Indeed. I mean, first of all, Microsoft are now in the place where Palm was last year. Palm had an absolutely storming announcement of WebOS at the CES that happened in January back in 2009 and failed to capitalize on it. It took about six to seven months to get their phone out. When the phone came out, it came out to quite lackluster sales. They then brought out another phone at Christmas and, they didn't get that. They had a great announcement, but they didn't get this phone going anywhere. And Microsoft are now in that same position. I think Palm had a complete break as well. You can't run Palm OS on WebOS without third-party support, but I'm sure people will correct us on that if we're wrong. My understanding is that this is a complete break for Windows Mobile as well. But most of those vertical applications you talk about there, Steve, are the Office suites, Exchange, and stuff that you can talk to over the internet and over the air, like talking to an Exchange server. Doesn't need to have the same application on the device. It needs the same data, but that data sits in the business server.
No, I was really talking about vertical applications. Things like you go into a company and they've got a Windows Mobile on all their handsets for stock taking.
Then you'd have to think that they're going to keep back something for enterprise.
I think they will.
But they're aiming for the consumer. They could have either carried on doing a little bit more for the consumer market, or they could have just went all in, to use the poker terminology. And they will have had feedback from this interface and the usage from the Zune HDs. And remember, the Zune HDs had the web browser built in. They had the big, large capacitive screen. They had music and video playback. They had IM status and chat and such like. So some of that UI work has already been done and already been blooded and tested in the wild. And having actually had some time with the Zune HDs, they're really nice. And the interface does take a bit of getting used to, but it is definitely different. And I think that will give people time to give them a second look and then look at the handset again. And it's the same sort of thing that a lot of people hoping Symbian 3 will do, that they will force people to have another look at the phone, irrespective of what's underneath. It's like, well, this looks interesting. This looks different. This looks new. Even though the underlyings might be the same or might be different, or there might be code compatibilities, or you might have to worry about using certain APIs, that won't matter to most people. They just want to have something that's sexy and nice. And Windows Mobile have certainly stood up to the plate and said, right, well, we think this is what the case would be. Symbian has stood up and went, this is what it's going to be. Apple went, oh, we don't need you. We're at the top of the hill. Google Android may well have a rework in, 1.5 is different to 1.6 is different to 2.0. So there may be a reworking there. So I'm thinking that, once we get to Q3, it's not going to be an App Store war anymore. It's going to be UI war.
It's certainly going to be a war. The battleground for the smartphone world tends to vacillate between hardware and UIs and apps, and these things will ever be thus. The thing about Microsoft is that with this, they're starting from ground zero. They're starting from zero users, zero compatible hardware, zero on every count. And that's one of the reasons why I think Palm kind of failed with WebOS. They never really got going worldwide because they started from zero. Symbian, they had the compatibility break about 3 or 4 years ago when they went to Symbian OS 9. But from then on, in theory, most applications are forwards compatible, and they'll carry on being forwards compatible through Symbian 3. Now, Symbian will hit its own compatibility break when it gets to Symbian 4, and that will be very interesting. I suspect it will go as smoothly or as roughly as Symbian OS 9 did 2 or 3 years ago, and that there will be issues, but we'll probably get over them through the sheer size of Symbian and its sheer market share, and the brand names like Nokia and Sony Ericsson and Samsung etc. will be enough to carry it over. But Symbian will have its own rough waters in a year or so's time, I suspect.
Well, as long as they give Yanuel a bit of a heads up and he gets to do Gravity before the release, they can go, new operating system, clean application rate. It's okay, here's a new version of Gravity. We'll all be fine.
Yes.
Because he'll have email in that. He'll have web access. He'll have on-demand Facebook page pooling down and everything sorted out by then. Yeah?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. We got Gravity OS. We don't need Symbian anymore. No, get out of here. We need Symbian underneath it. Really? Oh. Again, doesn't matter what the operating system is. It's how the interface works and it's how your application works. Now, we've already said that the war is going to switch over. What is going to be the battleground where Sony Ericsson's new handset enters? They announced the Vivaz at the end of January, coming out as the sort of first starting gun to get the initial press coverage was Sony Ericsson Vivaz Pro. And I know this is a phone that you were pretty excited to read about, Steve.
Yeah, the big thing that got me excited, this is going to sound a bit geeky, how often have I said that, it's the fact that it's
16,585 times since we started the Insight podcast.
That's 2 to the power 8, exactly.
It is, yes. So,
yeah, it's the fact that the Vivaz is all geared around shooting video, which is a subject close to my heart, and not only that, it shoots continuous autofocus for video, which is something we really haven't seen before on phones, so I'm very excited to try that out. Having said that, there are some downsides. The Vivaz brand, the normal and the pro, they have 3.2-inch resistive screens, so it is resistive, still not capacitive. It isn't as large as some of the other devices. It runs vanilla S65th edition, so none of that fancy N97-style application menu kinetic scrolling. It does have the Sony Ericsson panelled home screen and the media browser. Those are the two bits which don't work on the Satio, so I'm jolly well hoping they fix the bugs. I did hear a whisper that the bug testing and the quality control has been significantly ramped up at Sony Ericsson, so I'm hoping they've got over that. And some of these Sony Ericsson bells and whistles, eye candy transitions and slidey bits and whirly bits, that they all will now work and the phone won't keep crashing. Overall specifications, there seems to be some debate as exactly what spec camera it's got in terms of stills, but we shall find out. A Vivaz itself is due here in the next week or so for review, and I'm sure the Vivaz Pro is basically the same device but with a slide-out QWERTY keyboard. The keyboard, it looks a bit 1980s, sort of Casio calculator-ish, but you never can tell. The Nokia N97's keyboard looked utterly rubbish from the original photos, but once you start using it, it's actually not too bad. Whereas things like the Nokia E75 keyboard, which looks terrific on photos, is actually a tiny bit flat and isn't quite as good as it looks. So, and people have said with the Vivaz, certainly Rafe said from handling it at Mobile World Congress, that it's one of those devices that doesn't quite look right in the press photos, but once you handle it, you really enjoy it. And the keyboard, he said, was actually not too bad at all. And we're expecting extra videos from Rafe and Ewan McLeod over the next couple of days, and we'll feature them on the site, of course.
Do have video of the Vivas up already at the moment, with the initial first look, including all of this rotation-sensitive wallpaper.
Oh, yes, you rotate it and the home screen background sort of swishes around and responds to gravity, which is rather cool.
But that's the sort of thing that sells phones nowadays.
Along with virtual pints of beer that drain as you tilt the iPhone and etc. Yeah.
Interestingly, just to go back to that, that's that Carlsberg application, isn't it?
Yeah.
In America, there's a nice, worthy best iPhone application in terms of sales ever. In the rest of Europe, there's an interesting game. In Britain, it's Carlsberg's Virtual Point is the best-selling iPhone application.
It says it all, really. I haven't seen Rafe handling the Vivas Pro yet. I'm sure that'll happen over the next day or so. The initial videos were of the Vivas, but the basic specs are the same.
He had a question on the Vivas coming over Twitter, actually. Nonal was asking, does it have digital zoom?
No, he didn't mean that. He was asking, does it have real digital zoom rather than the normal digital zoom, by which he means the Nokia N86, if you remember back, had a kind of optimized mode where as you zoom into a digital picture, rather than just recording your video information on the center part of a sensor, and then as you zoom in, it uses even less of that sensor, which is what normally happens on every other camera phone. The N86 from Nokia used the entire sensor for capturing video and was downsampling that to VGA as it went in real time, meaning that you can actually zoom in, and rather than being blocky digital zoom for the first 2 times, 3 times, 4 times zoom levels, you're actually still using a full VGA sized at least portion of the sensor, which means you don't get degradation. So the question here was, is it using N86 style digital zoom? I suspect it's not. I suspect that's something that Nokia worked really hard on for the N86, and it will be rather unique and will remain unique, much as the N93 was unique a few years ago and some of the things it did. I suspect Nokia did a huge amount of work there. I don't think Sony Ericsson have done that level of work. The continuous autofocus is very nice. Whether that's something that comes as part of the particular camera unit they chose to include, or whether that's something they've added in terms of working in software, I don't know. It remains to be seen. But the answer to the question is no.
Autofocus is when you're looking at somebody, they might move further away from the camera. It kind of stays locked on them. It doesn't go blurry, yeah?
That's right. Of course, that does have its downsides. Is that we've all seen the videos of someone shooting, for example, I shoot you, you're waving a sign around. Ooh, sound effect, please.
Oh, hold on. It's not a sound effect. It's real money, Steve. Real, real, actual, honest-to-God silver doubloons.
So say I'm videoing you. You're waving a device around. Do you have the problem of, does the camera focus on your face? Does it keep getting distracted by the device that's closer? Does it keep sort of ranging to the background? And quite often with continuous autofocus videos, even on pretty good camcorders, you can see it hunting and things go in and out of focus and finally settles on the right thing, but it can take time. There are advantages to shooting video with a fixed focus, which is where devices like the N95, N82 and N86 come in. They shoot at a focus of around about a metre or two with a pretty good depth of field. So basically, everything's in focus all the time unless you go silly and start shooting stuff, you know, a foot from your face. So there are advantages to that approach, but continuous autofocus is in principle better. And as long as it's done well, you should be able to shoot anything from a ladybird on a tree in front of you to the horizon and have it perfectly focused at all times. So I'm looking forward to trying it out. Look for a review on All About Symbian, hopefully in a week or two's time.
And now somebody in the Sony Ericsson press department is, do we really want to send them a phone now? What does all that mean? It just takes pictures.
Or as Rafe would say, Steve will break it anyway, so.
Yes. Thing is, with technology as it is, it's when you start really pushing these devices, it's quite easy to get out to the raggedy edge of the envelope. I think I found that with the X6. When you put 16 or 17 gigs worth of music on it, it takes a while to index everything.
Yeah, we are pushing these devices to their limits. But the thing is that 3 or 4 years ago, smartphone users like us, geeks, we would push phones to the limit and we would be the exception. But now, with, for example, the X6 is a great example. Having 16 gigabytes of music on a phone, you'd say, well, that's got to be pushing it to its limits. No one's going to do that. But it's a 32 gigabyte, comes with music phone. It's advertised as being able to do that. And the average user will try and do that very geeky, very hardcore, pushing it to its limit sort of thing. And therefore, it should be able to do it.
There we go then. A little bit of justification there. Rafe and Ewan and McLeod are still safely out in Barcelona. Hopefully Iberia has reunited them with their luggage as well. Naughty Iberia. Steve and I are here back and doing the insight. We'll have a full insight with Rafe back on station. I wonder if we can get Ewan McLeod in as well and have all four of us talking about Barcelona for the next Insight. That will be number 106. This has been Insight 105 with myself and Steve Litchfield. Your comments, as always, are welcome back on the website, www.allaboutsimeon.com. You can get in touch with us through Twitter, as we've said before. You can give us a call if you know our private phone numbers, or you can Google them. They should be around there. Hopefully this has given you a little flavour of what's up at MWC, certainly from the viewpoint that we see outside of Spain. We'll have the view from inside Spain in the next show, but for now, it's been a delight to talk to you and bring you the news from the Cutting Edge Mobile World Congress and everything else associated with it. Steve, any final thoughts?
I can't believe you just advised people to Google our private phone numbers. If you Google my private phone number and find it, please get your Tippex out and wipe it out, because I don't want anyone to know.
Well, that'll leave Tippex on their computer screen.
Minor point. Goodbye from me, everyone. See you next time.
And goodbye from me as well. Bye-bye.